A very good morning to you, Namibia. Welcome to Eagle FM. So it's a Tuesday morning and the 17th of February. The month is already getting there. So February this year is it's so fast. Well, good. I like it when it's fast. So the faster the better. They said, each day it's another day closer to your grave. Well, I don't want to start on that note. Good morning. How are you? And how is your Tuesday morning, in this beautiful land of the brave? So how are you? Wherever you are listening us from, you could be listening us from your website, could be listening us from your website on your computer in your office. Or you could be listening us from your Eagle FM mobile app, and which I'm asking you, if you haven't done that, well, just do that now. Download your Eagle FM mobile app so that you can listen to us wherever you are. You know, could be whether you are in or outside of the country, you will be able to connect to your favorite show. Or maybe you're listening us through the radio where the frequency is available. So good morning to you. Good morning, Namibia, and welcome to Eagle FM. This is your number one talk radio station in the land. And we thank you for joining us at this point in time. Thank you, David, for early morning scoop. And we come into you now from Ondangwa Studio. Live and direct, coming to you live from the might region of Oshana region. So I'll be with you until around 10 o'clock when I will be handing over to Tate France coming with Kutha Mosha. So my name is Mike Oshoveli, and this is Unpacking the Day. So your daily dose of what is really going on in terms of economic news, business news, and political news. And every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, headlines, trends, and numbers that are making headlines. So we keep it clear here, and always curious, asking the question that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying, spark meaningful conversation, so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your platform. This is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. Our time, it's about 5 minutes past the hour of 8, and as usual, we start going back into history, looking at on this day in Africa. So, well, let me welcome you. Good morning and welcome on this day in Africa, wherever you find yourself in this great continent, Africa, that we call the motherland. So today is February the 17th, and let's take a look back at the major moments that shape our continent on this day. So we start by turning the clock all the way back to 1917. On this day, Namibia, on this day in Namibia, in the land of the brave, a significant era came to an end. Mandume Yandemfayo, the last king of the Kwanyama people, was killed by South African forces. So this was a very pivotal moment in the history of the region. Moving forward to 1964, a political drama unfolded in Gabon on this day. On the night of February the 17th, the military launched a coup and detained President Leon Ba. They briefly took a control of the government. And however, the French forces stepped in they step in shortly after they restore the president to power again. Now, then, on this day in 1970, Rhodesia made a change to its money. They introduced the Rhodesia dollar to replace the pound. So this was part of the switch to decimals system, and it happened while the country was still unrecognized state following its unilateral declaration of independence. And finally, we remember the events of 2011 in Libya. It was on this date that mass protests broke out against the rule of Muammar Gaddafi. So this marked the beginning of the revolution that eventually led to his overthrow. Today, the people of Libya mark February the 17th as a revolution day. So that is a look at the history book for today. So, and let's do that again as we look at another day in the history of the continent tomorrow. All right. So stay tuned. When we come back, we look at what is our thought for the day.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo. Chikao shafasa na nana longeshifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongote samwene. Anageshifa ya Namibia ompito ombwa na wa oronjika. Zeitha nina omayakuro ni randito ma yoe yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashipareki uimwepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konora heta tuimwe. Datundatu heari hamano tano o niyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
That's right. A very good morning to you. If you're just joining us, this is Eagle FM and we are your eye. We bring you everything that we see happening out there. So today's thought for the day is the longest journey begin with a single step. The longest journey begin with a single step. So the proverb means that no matter how big, difficult, or daunting a task or a goal may seem, it can only be accomplished by starting somewhere. You know, starting somewhere with one small action or a decision. Now, the proverb teaches that progress, success, or major achievement don't happen all at once, but are built gradually. They are built gradually, one step at a time. So in essence, it encourages taking that first step towards your goal. You know, even when the full journey ahead feels overwhelming, because every long process ultimately begins with one simple beginning. So whatever decision you're making or choices you're making today, take note, note that a major achievement don't happen all at once, but are built gradually, one step at a time. The longest journey begin with a single step. That's our thought for the day. So, a very good morning to you, and welcome to your favorite station, Eagle FM, and this is Unpacking the Day. So, what are you looking forward to the show this morning? Well, you know, there was this, an outbreak of foot and mouth disease in Namibia. Not an outbreak in Namibia. So an outbreak of foot and in Namibia would actually trigger, a devastation in terms of economic consequences that could range from now loss of maybe that lucrative export market that we have, to even maybe losing jobs, you know, widespread of unemployment across the agricultural value chain. So that's what we're going to look at, and we will have a guest that we will be talking to in a few minutes time. We're going to look at the impact, the economic impact of food and mouth disease in Namibia. And if we have a time, we're also looking at the 39 African Union Assembly concluded in Addis Ababa after addressing critical continental issues, and also the inauguration of the Burundian president as a new leader of the African Union. So, and also the launching of the 2026 theme on water and sanitation. So, if we get a time, we're going to look at that as well. And as usual, your participation will also be part of the show, of course. So when we come back, we get to August. Stay tuned.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Simon, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. The UNAM Readiness Program and the University of Namibia is pleased to announce the continuation of the UNAM Readiness Program in 2026 for equitable access to higher education. The program is specifically designed for prospective students aiming to enroll in the UNAM graduate qualifications, excluding professionally regulated programs. The readiness program is intended for learners who have done NSSCAS, NSSCO, and NSCH/HIGCSE and or equivalent, but do not meet the minimum UNAM admission requirement. So applications are completed online via UNAM website. I'm going to read this later on after this commercial.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the you in UNAM is you.
All right. So the University of Namibia is pleased to announce the continuation of the UNAM Readiness Program in 2026 for equitable access to higher education. The program is specifically designed for prospective students aiming to enroll in UNAM undergraduate qualifications, excluding professionally regulated programs. The readiness program is intended for learners who have done NSCAS, NSSCO, and NSSCH/HIGCSE or equivalent, but do not meet the minimum UNAM admission requirement. Applications are completed online via the UNAM website www.unam.edu.na/online-application. Prospect students are encouraged to apply by 20 February 2026 and consult official UNAM platforms for admission requirement. All right. So when we come back, we will be talking to Erastus Ngaruka. Stay tuned. We'll be back. in a second.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Omutiha kutekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo. Chikao shafaa sana na longe shifaa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moya o, ota ingongo tisa mwene. Anage shifaa ya Namibia, ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayaguro nirandi soma yoe, yonge shifaa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengira selma, konara heta tuimu. Datu ndatu, heari hamano tano, oni aj. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, welcome back. This is Eagle FM and good morning, Namibia. Welcome to another episode of Unpacking the Day. Today we are diving into a critical issue that could affect the livelihood of many Namibians, especially those in the agricultural sector. So we are talking about the potential outbreak of foot and mouth disease in Namibia and the serious consequences it could have on our economy. So with livestock production being such a crucial part of our economy, valued at over 6 billion, the implication of such an outbreak are immense. So joining me today to unpack this topic is Erastus Ngaruka, AgriBank Technical Advisor for Livestock and Rangeland Management. So Erastus has written a thought-provoking article on this very issue, and we are fortunate to have him here to give us a deeper understanding of the challenges and the necessary step we can all take to protect Namibia's agriculture. So Erastus, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Good morning, and thanks for having me, and good morning to the public as well.
All right. Now, let's start from the very beginning. If I'm not a farmer, why should someone who doesn't own a livestock really care about foot and mouth disease?
Okay, thanks once again. In Namibia, we are a livestock producing country and we eat meat.
Yeah.
We depend on farmers. So farmers can produce livestock where we can also eat products like meat, even milk. And again, there are those that also don't own livestock, but they supply animal feed to the farmers.
Yeah.
To the livestock farmers. So now, if you are not owning livestock at all, but probably you are eating meat or you drink milk, you will be affected, because if the farmer loses production, then it means they are not be able to. If you are talking of FMD, obviously the products like milk and meat are not supposed to be consumed or even be transported or whatsoever. So now imagine if you can't have access to milk for your child or for yourself, then it means you are affected. So it's either you don't have milk, or the price of milk will increase, or the price of meat will also increase, and so forth.
Yeah.
You will be affected in one way or another.
Yeah. So in this...
And again, you might be having a relative who is employed in the farming sector.
Yeah.
Or maybe in an abattoir and so forth. If the abattoir closes, or maybe a farm closes production and then lay off workers, then that disposable income is also gone. You are not receiving anything from your family member, for example, or from your brother. Yeah.
So what is the current situation with foot and mouth disease in our neighboring countries? How close are we to the danger zone?
Yeah. You see, FMD, it's a viral disease, and it has been lingering, or it has been around in southern African regions.
Yeah.
And South Africa has been battling the disease for some time now, maybe about 5 to 6 years, and they are failing to contain it. The disease has started in the Limpopo, and then spread to other provinces, and now lately it spread to the Northern Cape. So one can say the disease is about maybe 400 kilometers away from Namibia. So that's an indication that this disease is spreading fast.
Yeah.
And again, today I'm even reading that in Eswatini it has also reached there, and most of the regions are closed. Now they cannot do any transactions or trade with livestock and livestock products. And Botswana was hit as well in the northeastern regions. And also there are some restrictions there. No trading, no movement of animals and even meat products or milk.
Yeah.
So now what does that mean? It means that we could be next. So if any mistake is done at the borders, or if anyone does not adhere to any protocol, they will cause the country a very huge harm in terms of economics.
Yeah. So why is this disease, this particular disease, foot and mouth disease, is such a nightmare scenario for a country like Namibia?
Yeah. You know, the disease affects cattle in many ways.
Yeah.
Obviously, the symptoms are clear. You have wounds or blisters on the mouth and tongue and even on the hooves. So what does that mean to an animal? Then it means the animal will not be able to walk or even eat, so which means the animal will lose its body condition, or it will lose its performance in terms of gaining weight and even walking or even reproducing. So it's a huge production loss. And again, if your animals are not producing enough or they are losing body weight, then it means you have to dig deep in your pocket to even try to have them recover.
Yeah.
By feeding them more and even trying to treat them. So that is a huge cost to a farmer as well. Yeah, but then the more you increase your production cost, then it means the product that should also come out from there, the price will also have to increase for you to recoup your return on investment, for example, or your production costs to balance. Yeah, so it's a problem in the fact that Namibia, we are a small country, but with a huge impact on the meat market worldwide, especially for the markets that we are exporting to.
Yeah.
The European Union, the UK, Norway, those are lucrative markets that are paying huge amounts for our beef.
Yeah.
Because of the way, the value or the quality of our meat, is free range. Yeah. So this value of our meat industry, more than 6 billion or even reaching 15 billion, that is a huge contribution to our country's economy. So now imagine if you lose that market or those markets, it means this potential revenue that you're supposed to generate will be lost.
Yeah.
And then where will you sell your meat to? You may sell to some other smaller markets that may even not consume or take up all your meat, or they will even take it at lower prices. So, and again, you are affecting your potential income for an individual farmer, for a country as well.
So, you said in your article you have said Namibia has a commendable animal health status. How does that protect our livestock industry?
Yeah, over the years, I think I need to really commend or even give praise to our government, our veterinary services. We really established good protocols. We have adhered to international trade and also to the World Health of the Organization of Animal Health, the World Organization of Animal Health, the general trade protocols we have really adhered to. And in terms of livestock markets, we have really responded to what the markets demand or demanded since then. Yeah, by making sure that our livestock are healthy, they are treated, you know, they are not exposed to harmful things like hormones. They are just free range. They are eating from our natural pastures.
Yeah.
And we are also not, we are, there's animal welfare practices in the country. So that is very good. So in terms of maintaining our animals' health, the nutrition, and the general well-being. So that has really, put confidence in our markets that now Namibia is the country to go. That's why, since then as well, apart from having EU markets and so forth, we have been expanding our markets. We have reached to China. China opened their doors to us as well. USA as well, America, they have also opened our their doors to our beef. So it's an indication that we really kept our markets and also attracted more markets, and we still continue to attract more markets, especially even if you look at the Middle East, if you look at Africa as well, the West African countries, many countries are interested in our meat products, and that is because of the way we do it in terms of controlling diseases, and if there's an outbreak, we always act and really eliminate the outbreak. That is a very good attitude that we must really keep. Every farmer, every stakeholder should really praise the country for that.
You just mentioned the this fantastic market in the EU and now even in China. So if FMD crosses into Namibia tomorrow, what happened to those export markets? Do we lose them overnight?
Possibly, you know, the markets are already already watching us. They are monitoring the situation. So, and if you even look at Botswana, there are restrictions already. The disease entered Botswana, and maybe within few hours they were banned to export to the UK as well. And if you look at South Africa, the same. All these years, since 2019, I think they have not been exporting to anywhere else, to those lucrative markets. So it's only now. So those markets have been monitoring South Africa, monitoring Botswana. They are monitoring us as well, because now we are at risk. We are the last country, I could say, that they are looking at. So meaning any error, any mistake, then they will quickly shut down. Because they don't want to also risk their own farming industry or their meat sector on the other side.
We have a quick commercial coming up, and we can just come back here.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
All right, welcome back. So we were looking at if now the FMD crosses into Namibia, would we lose this export market, you know, overnight?
Yes, we'll lose them. We'll lose them. And that is the route that we don't want. And that's why we really need to be on high alert and really adhere to all the protocols that are being set by government or by the Directorate of Veterinary Services, so that we don't lose our livelihoods. And imagine Namibia could be different from other countries. We only have two zones in terms of disease control. We have the northern part and then the southern part. So those are just two zones. If you look at some countries like Botswana, for example, they have different zones, maybe four or five or so or more. So if one zone is hit, then they just close or they bend restrictions within one zone. But now the southern part of Namibia,
yeah,
which is from Moshivelo down south, it's one zone. The whole half of the country, more than half of the country, is one zone. So imagine any mistake in Kara's region or in the Mahenge region, then it means the entire south, southern part of the 13-day cordon fence is shut down.
So let's talk about the ripple effect. You mentioned workers like abattoir workers, truck drivers, even kapana vendors. Can you walk us through how one disease connect all these people?
Yes. Let's start with farmers. Yes. If there's a disease, if there's an outbreak, then obviously there will be restrictions.
Yeah.
No movement. Movement of what? Movement of livestock, even to a market to go sell at an auction. You can't move your animals. Or moving animals into your farm, for example. Maybe you are supposed to buy a bull or some animals to increase your production, so you can't do that. So now if you are not able to move animals or even move for selling, and why do you sell animals? You sell maybe to take care of your production costs, which could be paying your farm workers, paying the loans, and pay for other services like maybe servicing your trucks that transport cattle. Okay, so if you can't do that, you don't have any income, so then what do? You cut on your costs. What could be the cost that you are cutting? It could be your farm workers. You may lay them off or cut their pay. Well, because there's no job on the farm, there's no there's no husbandry practices that you normally do, where you probably select animals, you breed animals for transportation, for what, or for breeding and stuff. Yeah. So all those farm activities will be reduced because there's no action on the farm. Yeah. And again, if you look at, if the farm worker is laid off, what does it mean? No income for that household. So that person won't be able to take care of their family. Look at the casual workers, for example. Someone that was maybe employed for 6 months or had thought that, no, for 6 months I'll be able to sustain my family. But now, after working for a week or 1 month, there's a restriction. So that, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Removed from the basket. Look at the truck drivers. They are supposed to transport this livestock maybe to auctions or to beyond borders and so forth. What will happen? They will lose their jobs because there's restrictions. And these restrictions, it's not just for a month or so.
Yeah.
It's for an extended period of time. So meaning for the whole maybe 6 months or a year, you are not driving a truck to transport animals. And again, the kapana that we normally eat here, single quotas, for example, where do they get their meat from? So they get from the farmers. But now if there are restrictions that no movement of animal anywhere, outside your farm, or no importation of animals or animal products, what does that mean? So the kapana guy will not be able to have that beef or that meat that they normally sell. So they sell for what? For income or to sustain their livelihoods. So if they can't sell, what will happen? So then they will not support their families. Or even someone who is dependent on milk, for example, because now there will be restrictions on milk. You can't even milk your own cow at home, for example. What does that mean? You have to rely on buying milk that is pasteurized, maybe this processed milk. And if you don't have an income, you lost your job, and your pay was cut. How will you afford the milk that is now processed, where you used to normally just get it from your own crop, for example? So it's a huge, it's a problem. The abattoirs. No slaughtering, because there's no export or no markets. What are you slaughtering? And who slaughters? The people that you have employed in the abattoirs, the whole chain in the abattoirs, people who are cleaning, people who are, cutting the cuts, people who are whoever does anything in the abattoir. There will be no operations because there's no animals. So what does that mean? Then it's either you are laid off to go home, or your pay is cut because you need to maintain the other costs. Okay, and looking at the farmer themselves, they need to, if the vaccinations are here, they may need to also increase their biosecurity measures, for example, controlling the disease or the spread of the disease. So they are spending a lot of money. Where will you get this money to maintain your animals or to adhere to the protocols? If you could not sell your animal to get the money, where will you get the money from? Then you will be borrowing a lot as well. Borrowing from where? From the banks. And are you able to pay back? What will you pay with if you can't sell to pay back?
Yeah.
Or the banks will even say, no, we can't borrow you money because how will you pay? If you rely on livestock, how will you pay if there are restrictions? So then again, what?
Yeah.
So everyone will be affected.
Yeah.
Even the bankers. If people are not paying your loans.
Yeah.
So how will you survive as a bank, for example?
You know, now I think that explains it well. Because sometimes when we hear, you know, this, the break, you know, food and mouth diseases in South Africa or Botswana, we really don't see how that really affect us, you know. And now, given the situation, what is happening? So, what are the efforts at our borders? What are the directorate of veterinary services? What are they actually doing right now to keep the FMD out?
Yeah. Okay, thank you. And quickly, one thing, you know, even if you have to compare Namibia and South Africa, we are totally different in terms of even the population.
Mm.
You know, South Africa has a huge population. They are able to even consume their meat within. But us, we are a small population. We can't even consume. We export between 70% to 80% of our meat,
yeah,
because we can't consume. We only consume 20-something% to 30%.
Mm.
So imagine if we can't export the 80%, where will it go to?
Yeah.
We can't eat and finish. So your meat will even rot in your own house. You can't eat and finish.
That would be cheaper now for local domestic consumption.
Yeah, it will be cheaper because there will be an oversupply of livestock and even the meat.
Yeah.
But then after some time, are you able to consume the whole meat and finish? It will rot.
Yeah,
because even you yourself, you can't go buy your meat from someone else. You have your own.
Mm. The Directorate of Veterinary Services, what are they actually doing right now, to keep the FMD out?
Yeah, I think our veterinary services have the experience. We have FMD outbreaks. We had FMD outbreaks in the northern regions. 2015, we had it in the north central, the 4O regions. I think 2022, there was also one in Zambezi region. So they have that experience of controlling or containing the disease.
Hmm.
So the difference is that this one is a bit at a larger scale. And it's also coming from different entry points. So our borders can even be from the airport, from the sea, and so forth, because we have a lot of people flocking into the country. So now what they have done so far, they have alerted or they have elevated the control measures.
Yeah.
They are spraying us. Any vehicle that goes in and out of Namibia has to be sprayed or disinfected. Every person, your shoes, whether you have them on or you have them in your bag, they have to be sprayed because the virus can spread through those means. Those are the means of transporting the virus.
Mm-hmm.
When you are walking into an area that maybe have a virus, you can pick it up through your clothing or even your shoes. So they are trying to really spray each and every or disinfect each and every car and people. And again, they are also inspecting to see if there's no meat products that are being transported between the countries.
Yeah.
So there's many things that they are doing there. And that is also a huge cost to the government. So now we have been reading that there's 57 million that is approved, and there's also a need for 1.5 billion. So imagine there's still more that we need to do. That 1.5 billion, should it come, then probably one should have confidence to say, now we are able to really control the disease. But apart from that, we need every stakeholder to really come on board to also support financially or whichever way. And the adherence is very important. So, yeah, there's a lot of campaign going on in terms of information dissemination.
Yeah.
Apart from the physical work that the Directorate of Veterinary Services are doing at the borders. So the erection of borders, again, renovation of fences, and also trying to establish buffer zones, and also somehow rezoning the country. Yeah, so, but that will also require a lot of costs,
yeah,
money or investment, and yeah, it may also take some time. But at least we have done something. We are trying something.
Okay. You also mentioned the biosecurity measures at our borders. So what does that actually look like at our borders?
Biosecurity, it's all about controlling, or basically you can say it's to kill or eliminate the virus.
Uh-huh.
Or prevent the virus. Yeah, it's like you are killing it, the biological agent that is supposed to come or transmit the disease, you are killing it.
Hmm.
So you are securing that there's no entrance of that virus through disinfection.
Okay.
So that's what it basically means. And again, the movement of animals in and out of the country, trucks that goes to South Africa, obviously it goes to a very risky area, and that truck can pick up the virus. So here you need to clean, disinfect to secure that the biological agent is dead.
Hmm.
Or is, yeah.
Yeah. So in your article, you advised farmers to sell less productive animal before an outbreak hit. Can you explain the thinking behind that strategy?
Yes. You know, when you are farming, or maybe even farming as a business,
yeah,
even generally, when there's a crisis, you always try to identify the most effective, or you take the most effective decision, targeting what should go first, what should I release first. So it's like you are playing cards. Which card do I release first and which card do I play last? So now in terms of farming, you look at your production units or the animals that you have.
Yeah.
So which animals do you rely on for your income or for your production? So those are your best performing animals. Which ones do you maybe spend much money or a lot of money to maintain? So it could be the weak ones, the sick ones, or which animals currently at the moment when I'm hit with a crisis are not adding value to the farm currently. So that could be the old ones, the sick ones, the poor performance, obviously.
Yeah.
So that is the thinking behind it, because you would not want to, for now, release all your best performing animals, and then later on, if the outbreak is not coming or the virus is not coming, then you have eliminated your most productive animals and you have remained with only poor producing animals or the sick animals. So meaning you are slowing down your production as well. So now you have those weaklings, sell them while the rainfall conditions are so favorable and the body condition is fine and also the prices are also favorable. You can sell those ones.
Yeah. So now, when it comes to, just maybe I have a cynic mind or something. When it comes to reporting the suspicious symptoms, let's say, for example, a farmer that, or animal that might be sick, wouldn't be, I think there's a human psychology here where, wouldn't you think that farmers might be tempted to hide sick animals rather than report them and lose income? Or how do we overcome that? Or that is something that never really happened?
It happens. And even if you look back last year when we had the outbreak of Lambie skin disease, some farmers were hiding because they did not want to be restricted from moving their animals or even selling.
Yeah.
But now the implication is that when you hide that animal, that one animal, and it moves into the entire herd, then you infect your whole production.
Yeah.
If it moves in the whole village or the entire region, then it means we have closed the economy of that whole region. So we don't have to be selfish to say, no, I will hide it because I want to move my animals. You are crippling your own livelihood, including others and the entire family. And then who are you going to blame? If you can't even have maize meal to eat or mahangu to eat, what will you say?
Yeah.
It will be awful. So it's happening. So it's all about now creating awareness. Every farmer should really have the message and also the right message from the right sources as well.
Yeah.
So that we really conduct ourselves in a manner that is really protecting us, our livelihoods, including the sector, the whole country, and so forth.
Yeah. So this all sounds incredible, stressful for our farming communities. How important is a farmer's mindset at this point in time, a farmer's mindset in getting through something like this?
Yeah, it's a matter of having the right message and also from the right sources.
Yeah.
The farmers' mindset, you know, from experience, you know.
Mm.
For example, farmers in the northern regions, look at Zambezi region. For a very long time, farmers could not sell or they could not access the common basic markets that we have in the country, maybe selling to Meatco and so forth.
Yeah.
But now in Zambezi, there's a Meatco abattoir. In Rundu, there's a Meatco abattoir. It was because of the processes that were being put in place to make sure that at least the diseases are controlled, or there are some strategies that will promote the marketing of animals while trying to eliminate the diseases and so forth. So at the end of the tunnel, there will be a light.
Yeah.
So the mindset, it shouldn't be towards politics, it shouldn't be towards division, but it should be towards saving each and every person in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So that at least at one point, the entire country can export to lucrative markets.
Yeah.
So our mindset should be very positive. We really have to have the confidence in our veterinary services. And again, continue to be positive in terms of exploring more markets and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If the worst happen, and God forbid, there is an outbreak, so what is the immediate protocol? Is there a plan? What is normally they say? What is the immediate protocol?
Yeah, our Directorate of Veterinary Services is in charge.
Yeah.
They are the commanders. So with any outbreak or any suspected case, they will be the one to command. So we need to really listen to them.
Mm.
They will be the one to set the protocols immediately. Yeah.
Okay.
So we should be careful not to just listen to each and every person. This one in South Africa saying, no, this is how we did. We have our own commanders in the country that are monitoring the situation. So they will be the ones to really immediately make the announcement, even in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
So we should just be alert. We should be listening to radios and any media platform.
Okay. Yeah. Mm. All right. Now, there is this, we have now currently, or we have the FMD free status. I mean, if Namibia were to lose, if we were to lose this FMD free status, would it be difficult to regain it? What would that mean for the future of our beef industry?
Yeah, well, we will regain it, but not in the very shortest possible time.
Yeah.
Because we need to adhere to certain protocols that are stipulated or that under the World Organization for Animal Health.
Mm.
We need to make sure that the disease is contained. We need to make sure that there will be no more outbreak, maybe after some time, maybe 3 months, no more reported outbreaks or suspected cases. And also we have to apply to the World Organization for Animal Health to approve whatever measures we are putting in place or we have used to contain or control the diseases so that they clear us out.
Mm.
Yeah, so it will take some time. But now look at South Africa, for example. 6 years, they have not regained their status. Look at some other countries. They have spent years, 10 years and more. So, but with us, if we really work hard, if we really coordinate our efforts, we can have our status back in a shorter period of time compared to others.
Mm-hmm.
So for as long as every farmer adheres to that and our control measures are approved by the World Organization for Animal Health.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we should regain it if we are really up to the task, every one of us.
Okay. So,
yeah.
And ultimately, you know, Erastus, what is your biggest message to the nation today regarding this threat?
I think we just have to be positive, but also alert. We need to be on high alert. We need to coordinate our efforts. We need to collaborate with whatever protocol is set. We need to really give attention to any message that you are receiving. Some messages are false or misleading. We need to make sure that the messages that we are sharing on our media platforms, WhatsApp and so forth, are credible. They are coming from credible sources.
Yeah.
And the Directorate of Veterinary Services is in charge. That is now the commander in charge that we have to listen to. But we have to be positive.
Yeah.
We have to be positive because, you know, we have the experience of FMD in the northern regions, and our veterinary services have contained that. So when last was there an outbreak again in Zambezi or in the north central regions?
Yeah.
After some time. So if we do the same, should the southern part be hit, we can retain our market or our status within a short possible time. So let us just cooperate. Let us unite. No politics.
When you say we should be positive, I think immediately a question comes to my mind. What gives you hope that Namibia can navigate this this challenge successfully?
Just as I said, we have to be positive because we have done this before.
Yeah.
We have our northern regions that have been hit by FMD, but we have done some good jobs to contain the disease or to eliminate the disease. We have other diseases like lung sickness that has been, now it's more than 20 years or 30 years or so. So we have cleared our path very well in the previous outbreaks. So I think for this one, we still have to be positive that, we can do the same.
Yeah.
And the fact that FMD will have a very devastating impact on the entire country, at least the efforts are now really high. There are a lot of efforts. Not business as usual.
Yeah.
Because we're doing it at the larger scale now.
Yeah, finally, where can people go for accurate, up-to-date information to avoid, you know, to avoid panic and sometimes rumors, you know?
Yeah, I think in every constituency, if not most, there are Directorate of Veterinary Services offices. Yeah. So if you want credible information, visit your Ministry of Agriculture offices or the veterinary offices in your district. Yeah, for example, if you are in Maheke, obviously, Obabes, Epugiro, or if you are in Enana, there's a DVS office. Everywhere we have our district offices and even contact details. So there's been messages or contact details shared in many platforms.
Yeah.
You can contact your nearest veterinary office for any suspicious movement of animals or any suspected case or symptoms that you are not sure of. Yeah. So that's where you can get your information.
All right.
Good.
Erastus Ngaruka, thank you so much for joining us today and for unpacking this incredibly important topic. I think your insight have given us all a lot to think about, and I'm sure our listeners walk away with a better understanding of what is at stake. And thank you for making time to talk to us.
Yeah, thank you very much, and good luck for our country.
All right, thank you.
All right, good luck to our country and to our listener. Remember the word: no farmer, no food, no life. So welcome. And you are most welcome now to come through if you want to actually react to our discussion with Mr. Erastus Ngaruka, the AgriBank Technical Advisor for Livestock and Rangeland Management. So when I come back, are we going to go for commercials? And I will open up my line. You can come through and have your reaction to our discussion. Stay tuned.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo. Chikao shafa sana nana longe shifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongoti samwene. Anage shifa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayaguro ni randitoma yoe yonge shifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma onora heta tuimu. Datundatu heari hamano tano oniaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the Eye.
Yes, that's right. This is Eagle FM. Our time is about 57 minutes past the hour of 8. And we just concluded an interview with Mr. Erastus Ngaruka. And looking at the potential outbreak of food and mouth disease in Namibia. So at this point in time, the outbreak is in our neighboring, it's in our neighboring country. So we're putting up all the measures possible to keep that out. And what we need to understand, from what we was talking about, is the potential, when we're looking at our livestock production being the a very crucial part of our economy, which is actually valued at almost 6 billion. You know, the implication of such an outbreak would be really, really immense. And if you'll follow what we have discussed. So our government is trying the very best, whatever the very best they can, really to make sure that that it doesn't jeopardize our economy and our livestock. So what is your take? Our telephone number, it's 08-08-333-6091, 08-333-6091. So you are welcome to come through and have your reaction or your overall understanding or your perspective of exactly what is happening in terms of food and mouth disease outbreak in a neighboring country and the prospect of coming through as well. So as Mr. Ngaruka spoke about that, it could be easily, it's something that is very easily, could be spread across neighboring countries as well. So 08-333-6091. So you can come through and have your reaction to our discussion. All right.
Omutiha with the Kirakaguna, E. Matina, Omjo. Chicago Shafasana, Nana, Longishifa, Yai, Shuita Moshiwana, E. Moyao, or Tango Botisamwene, Anagashifa, Yanamibia, Ombitom Banawa, Orangika. Saitanina, Omeaburo, Nidanitoma, Yue, Yongishifa, Yokupira, Mo, Ikelefem Media House. Gwe 20 Mimeha, Uka Kombanga Nina. Kara omkwashi pareki wimepo yo mo programa detu. Moambo dengera selma kona rahita tuimu. Datu heari hamano tano o niyaji. Eagle FM, the Eye. My friend.
All right. So welcome back. Yeah, no, one thing that we sometimes, and I'm also guilty of that. It's only happened now that I'm in this position where I can go through, I can read an article, analyze it and all that. But as an ordinary person, you normally don't think beyond what you just read. And even when it comes to, FMD, you probably just, another food and mouth, diseases. But you don't pay attention to it. You don't really pay attention to that. And as we see, it has actually economic impact. The outbreak would have a huge, huge economic impact on not only on the farmers, but on it would have a ripple effect that would affect abattoir workers, truck drivers, even the capana vendors. So So as he explained, so yeah, and in some, in many ways, we don't really pay attention to those possible. I mean, we don't see it as an immediate something that would start to have immediate impact on us, but well, definitely, as he explained, it definitely does, and we all have to, you know, to take precautions. In the way when we ask to do things, let's do what our veterinary expert are requiring us to do, so that we avoid a catastrophic, you know, situation in Namibia. So 083-366-091, 083-366-091.
Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yeah, morning, mate.
Good morning.
Yeah. FMD.
Yeah.
I didn't listen much to the solution there.
There are measures at the moment. There are measures in place. Biosecurity measures. The veteran services are normally at the borders doing, you know, those. Yeah, but overall, there hasn't been really, okay, there aren't like outlined, this are solution that you know, but we're talking about the farmer, what they can do, and when they are suspicious of any, you know, symptoms, yeah.
But if you look at the $93 million that they are talking about.
Yeah.
And you view on those border farms that is there, especially the Karas or Maeke. I don't know about Ojojunjupa, because Ojojunjupa, Botswana is also fighting, because the free zone 6 is now affected. And on the look of what is Zambia is doing, I think that one, Zambia is doing more better than us. On the look of the things, because
What are they doing?
Yeah. No, they have to searching all those trucks. Yeah. That's one of the important things, so that they can fumigation all of those ones. Because remember, President of Zambia is also part of the cattle farmer men. Yeah. So they have to force on that, so that it cannot be affected in their country. Because South Africa have been neglecting this since 2019 up to today. They never, because of the KwaZulu-Natal, which is a risk zone.
But
if you look at the East Cape and others, they are fighting. Yes, even in the central of South Africa, they are fighting, but North are also having some of those part like a communal thing, where we are not be able to controlling all of it. That's why I'm asking now the question, if you are talking about the FMG zone, like Northern region and all of that. So those ones, they are not mind. You don't need into addressing them what is really, how it's impacting our economy, because they are not a part of the economy. So that is something I'm saying. There is no measures here that they can telling the other farms that we need to quarantining all your cattle now, removing where we are not controlling. Because the other thing that I know for the mouse is that the wildlife, they are the one that is spreading more. That, and those ones, they are moving one farm to another. So those are where the problem is, and they are the one that is moving from the, no matter there is a little bit.
Because there's less control over them than animal that we stock at home,
So they were supposed to advising also the farm that they needing also to monitor their cattle, because these cattle, they are roaming on themselves around the farm. Yeah, and that is what now. Because if you are talking about Kuru, Kuruman Better Post with 400 kilos where the cases was detected. It's still
that in
nearby.
Cape.
The one in Northern Cape. It's still, but trucks also, as I'm saying, we are depending too much on South on South Africa.
Yeah.
So this is supermarkets. They get importing anything that is coming from those farms. As I said, South Africa is failing to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But all their butters are now, you see why they're decrying it, because they are not controlling it, and they don't have quite enough force to putting up those measures.
Yeah.
So South Africa is in shortage of those type of people. But what we need is not to telling people that we're losing the market because of that. There are few that is benefited on the market.
Mm.
But if you are telling that, no, protect your cattle so that you not lose your cattle because of this. Once it's break out in your farm, you'll be losing maybe more than 20 or 30 cattle. So those are the things that they need to be starting quarantining their cattle, monitoring them, and if they can be able to feed.
Yeah.
Because
it's something I didn't ask, you know, it just came into my mind now. Why can't, is there no vaccination? Is there no something like you vaccinate your animal and then, you know, it will never actually get infected by this?
Yeah, no, preventing it can be, but if there is a outbreak there, that is another thing.
It's like we vaccinate our animal throughout the country. So even if there's an outbreak, our animal is vaccinated.
Yeah, no. That is where now the 93 billion is coming. I mean, million is coming. Because this is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It doesn't look really like they are working hard into keeping their market. Because if they are not communicating with the farms, they want the farms to communicate with them.
No. But according to your knowledge, can cattle be vaccinated?
Yes, that is what we do every year. But on the private farm, like commercial farms, sometimes they do themselves on that. I don't know this time whether they can be supported, to sending those DVS guys into vaccinated in their farms. So those one I don't know. But in the north, they are depending on that one once a year. So, which is sometimes just to protect your animal.
Yeah.
And it also helps because the outbreak is coming there and go because of that. So the immune system of those cattle there be boosted. But now, if you listen to your guest, what he is tackling is those northern region side where they are not benefited much on the economy.
Yeah.
Yeah, then on the market, then the one we are talking about here, because what I'm experiencing on is that quarantining or monitoring your cattle can help, because you know they are not communicating with the wildlife animals there. And the other issue is the tracks that are coming from South Africa each and every day. So if you want to tackle this, not only on paper that the people are talking about, stepping on the mat, go through the water, those things. We are talking about things that is inside. That is what Zambia is doing.
Yeah.
So to helping this disease not to be coming in. Because, as we said, we are depending on the processing food.
Yeah.
And those food and mouth diseases in South Africa is really, it's not something that you can ignore. To say, no, it's just an outbreak. It's not the outbreak, that one. It's a national challenge now to them. So that is what I'm now wanting these DVS guys into discussing about. Not only talk about money. I understand the farms, if they are stopping now like this, because we can look at what is World Health, World Organization Health, Animal Health. They are monitoring us. And we were supposed to be cooperating with them. What is really they need from us? Because our market, it can be picked up, no matter is what, by June or by August there, we can start selling. Please in supporting this guy as you can. Let them, because now the glass is fresh, they can be controlled. And they can be separating this for a month, from the wildlife. So that is what I'm seeing, that it can way forward. But because of SADC, SADC is only one, two countries that are supporting the lucrative market. As we are saying, Botswana is now on a great scale.
Yeah.
It is taking time to do that because Boko, the president of Botswana is not tough like the other can be there. Because they have geopolitics and that is playing a big role in that. Okay, mm-hmm. Mike.
All right.
Yeah, let's check what is our farm be and let us also hear from the one in the north. What are they, if you can get in one of those ones.
Yeah, let's see if we can be able to get someone, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. All right. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you for coming through.
Mm. You're welcome, bro. Yeah.
08-333-66-091. So you are welcome to come through and share what is in your heart. All right, share what is in your heart. All right. So and you could be a farmer. Seriously, farmers, if you're listening. Farmers, if you're listening, please do come through and give us your take of what is happening and how does this is affecting your livestock and yeah. So, what are the challenges that you're going through? All right. So, and this is from WhatsApp, Dr. Omu says, Mike, there's two reasons why they are not vaccinated. One, we have FMD free status without vaccination. And the second is that when testing vaccinated animals, they give false positive. Okay, that's... yeah, no, I was wondering, and something that I didn't get into, but now I thought, why just vaccinate every animals and then voila, you solve the problems. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Omu. That makes sense as well. All right. So yeah, any farmer out there that is listening right now or anyone who is an expert, who can also contribute, to this. Our lives depend on this, you know. as he said that what that saying, the saying of saying that without what is the word? Remember that no farmer and no food and no life. So this is a very important area that important sectors that we should be really, really careful and taking whatever he said. The veterinarian director of I always have a problem with this word. I don't know why. The veterinarian. So I always have, seriously, for some reason, I don't know why I have a problem with that word. They are the commanders. We need to listen to them. So all right. So do please come through if you still want to actually come, have your say on that. But let's move forward. Let's change gears. Okay, we're changing gears. Now we're moving to Addis Ababa. So when we come back, we'll look at what happened in the 39th ordinary session of the Assembly from the African Union. All right, stay tuned. We'll be back.
Omutiha kutekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo. Chikao shafa sana nana longeshifa yae shiwike moshiwana. Iye moya o, ota ingongotisa mwene. Anageshifa ya Namibia, ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seisa nina omayaguro nirandi soma yoe, yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashifareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma, konora heta tuimu. Datundatu heari hamano tano, oniari. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Simon, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right. Good morning, Namibia, and welcome to the eye, to your favorite radio station, Eagle FM, and welcome to Unpacking at the Day. I'm your host, Michael Chavelli, and this is your go-to show where we dig into the heart of the news and bring you a critical analysis of what is happening in the world and how it all connects back to us here at home. That's what we do. So, all right. So in this segment, we are diving into a conclusion of the 39th ordinary session of the African Union Assembly, held in Addis Ababa, in Ethiopia over the weekend. This past weekend, our president, we're talking now, our African president, our prime ministers, our head of state, they packed their bags and flew to Addis Ababa for what has become an annual ritual. It has become an annual ritual, the African Union Summit. So the 39th one, to be exact, this is the 39th one, to be exact. As I said, it has become an annual ritual. So now, this may sound like one of those, you know, big international gathering that could easily, you know, slip by unnoticed. But trust me, it's packed with issues that directly affect us here in Africa and especially in Namibia. So let's unpack it and see what went down at the AU summit and what does it all mean for us, especially here in Namibia. So let's start with the basics, okay? Let's start with what happened, the easy things, okay? The Angolan president, Lorenzo, handed over the AU chairmanship to the Burundi president, Ndayishimiye, and think of it like, you know, that, okay, let's get to our caller.
A very good morning to you.
Morning, Dr. Oshavedi. How are you?
I'm fine, man. Yourself?
Good.
Hmm.
Yes. So, when it comes to those critical challenges.
Yeah.
Like mouth disease and, you know, all these things. And it concerns us a lot.
Mm.
Because it disrupts the market.
Yeah.
So as to when it comes to South Africa, they have been dealing with these things, and they have also read and heard that they have started producing this mouth disease vaccination.
Yeah.
And they are also getting some from outside. And the thing when it because we, there is also another strategy.
Yeah.
The one that it was expounded to us by Dwight Ling and the agriculture. The one that produced meat. That yes, this strategy. So even if you have your cattle, whatever,
yeah. Yeah.
How do you call that one in English?
Well, if you have head of cows or something, yeah. Your head of cows.
Cows can be those who produce milk.
Your head of cattle, yeah.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. Mm. So now you can also, this is what they called, so that means it's a selection.
Mm.
You are selecting the animals that you want to take to Mitiko or wherever to Abachua.
Yeah, the one in good health, yeah.
The one in a good health.
Yeah.
So the only problem perhaps I'm asking is that because the moment they see, even if they hear those global markets, the Namibian beef or whatever beef have come here to the south and things like that. But of course, if we are consuming it. We are not saying that we are not consuming it.
Yeah.
But then can also put them in our abattoir here. The only problem is that the skin, all the other products that come out from those things, we have been saying that these things, they just go.
Yeah.
Or we cut them and we throw, even at our homes here, during the event, be it a funeral, be it a wedding, all those skins, they are just wasted.
Yeah, so, even not only that, even the meat as well, because our population is very small, we won't be able to consume all the meat, yeah.
Can you see? Mm. You see, we have identified some markets that we can access some markets like East Africa, West Africa. Everywhere, our beef are needed.
Yeah.
In demand.
It's one of the best.
So now, if that's the case, maybe in terms of agriculture, people must also go out there and start now convincing and educating the people that, yes, if you sell your cattle so for this amount because of the, I don't know whether it's drought or flood or whatever the case may be, you are going to get this type of amount of money. And then next time when you want to restock your animals, so we can give you subsidy. Now you buy those in the Mangolo Nagashona, beyond reach.
Yes.
But when you are buying it at this moment now, to how can the motorbike go and then you know go 6,000 miles on go be your hobby, you get it 9,000, 10,000.
Yeah, it's more than that. Yeah. Mm.
So even more than that, just because of that particular funeral or that particular wedding and things like that. But if they negotiate and they be helped, because they themselves might not have that capacity to negotiate and have a win-win kind of situation, but they can be people who can facilitate like the ones that your guests who are speaking there.
Yeah.
So to avoid these things, at least sell some of this and this and that. This is how we can do it. Let's now open the abattoirs, and the people must be assisted to ensure that the value addition from the ground is also added. Those who are at Ayu, these things, so we are going to also to sell it or whatever. You also get something there. So rather than just giving them I don't understand. So thank you very much, Mike.
Thanks for coming through. We're talking about the vaccination. Why not vaccinated? I got some information from Dr. Omo and said the countries and regions often choose not to use routine foot and mouth disease, the FMD vaccination, as a precautionary measure, primarily due to its significant impact on international trade status and the challenges associated with the vaccine itself. So when it comes to trade and economic impact, the primary reason
for avoiding routine FMD vaccination is FMD-free countries like the US and Canada and Australia and the EU is to maintain a specific, highly valued official disease status with the World Organization of Animal Health. So, and when it comes now to export restrictions, countries recognized as FMD-free without vaccination have access to lucrative, higher-value international export market for animals and animal products. So, now, if you're a country that's recognized as FMD-free without vaccination, so that means you have access to a lucrative, higher value international export market, you know, for animals and animal products. Okay, like beef. Like now we export beef to the EU. Now the status loss, if you lose that status, so if a country practices routine or preemptive vaccination, so it loses this top tier status. All right, it loses that top tier status following an outbreak and an FMD free country that does not vaccinate typically requires only a 3-month waiting period. Okay, waiting period after the last case to resume export. All right, and country that does vaccinate may face a much longer waiting period, potentially up to 12 months before trade can fully resume. Okay, these are very, very clear information. Differentiation challenge is that the traditional FMD vaccinates make it difficult to distinguish between now antibodies resulting from a natural infection and those from a vaccination known as the DIVA challenge or a differentiation of infected from vaccinated animals. So this uncertainty leads trading partners to impose restrictions, fearing the presence of the live virus in vaccinated animals and product. Thank you, Dr. Omu. That actually clear up even my questions. Yeah, that's very, 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 very clear. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. Yeah, and that's also clear up some of the questions that I think discussed with earlier caller on vaccinations. So yeah, great, thank you. All right, so we get back to when we come back, we get into our second story. Our time is 29 minutes past the hour of 9.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namas.
Imbaya rire ombwa nai epetwa weather ko ombunikiro ombe ombi hukusha onjiviro yoye irire ombupu ohatane na wina ikare no mafa ku murungu wa indu weri rongere kusha omune ondengu okura ko imba ona ovyu media peke ko londola mirongo vitatu na hambu umwe mumwe so kwika ovinki no kukara no rupa ondando ya peke yokuyanja oshimariva o peresente dano komyeze vitatu moshimariva o peresente omurongo komyeze hambu umwe moshimariva o peresente omirongo ivari na dano Komedia Murongona, Vivari Moshimarif, Ritorera on Tengu, Timayungura na Wakove, Nawina Onyanukife, Ashesho, Imba, Yekupe Oshimariva, Shishihina Omarifiro, Imba, O Maurongane no Oyebu Hakainina, Itako Nawina Rishangita, Jinun.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Yes, that's right. This is your number one talk radio station. And welcome. And if you're joining us, you're not too late. You're not late at all because we're just getting into our second story on the show this morning. So we are talking about the closing of the what is that? The 39th ordinary session of the Assembly of the African Union. That's concluded over the weekend in Addis Ababa. And I was just telling that the first thing, some of the things that happened, and also things that have been, you know, said at discussed at the summit. So the Angolan president Lourenço handed over, you know, Portuguese letters sometimes very confusing, handed over the AU chairmanship to the Burundi's president Ndayishimiye. All right. So he sounds like Yanganjera, this one. So okay, Ndayishimiye. And as I said, you know, this kind of handing over of chairmanship, you have think of it like passing the baton. You know, that relay race, that things they use, they call it baton. The baton? Oh, yeah, something, they call it baton. So except now, this race has been going on for decades. And we are still trying to figure out which direction it actually is running. Yeah? So, yeah, handing over the chairmanship to the Burundi president. Burundi takes the chair for 2026, and with it comes a theme of water and sanitations. So why water? Why water now? Why now? I think that's very important. Across our continent, over 400 million people lack access to safe drinking water. Over 400 million people lack access to safe drinking water. I think it's just appropriate that that's one of the theme. Water and sanitation is the theme that was chosen for 2026. And right here in Namibia, we know this story intimately. Eh? We know this story intimately, and I'm talking about religiously intimately, you know? So we are the driest countries in south of the Sahara. South of the Sahara, we are the driest country, you know, south of the Sahara. So we have been wrestling with water scarcity for generations. So when the AU says they are focusing on sustainable water availability and safe sanitation, to achieve Agenda 2063, to achieve the 2063 goals, they're actually speaking directly to our lived reality. In actual fact, they are speaking to our lived reality. So the question is, will this be more than just a theme? Okay, will be just this is a theme on a paper. Or will it be translated into actual boreholes, actual pipelines, you know, in the ground, actual toilets? Eh? We're talking about schools that have no toilets in the Kavangos, not only in the Kavangos. Why do I always rush to Kavangos? So, talking about toilets in schools, not only in schools, in villages as well. So, would that be translated? Will we see that changes? Or we just, you know, talk as same old, you know? So that's the question. So that's actually the question. Will that be translated into actual activity, actual boreholes, actual, you know, tap water, running tap waters, you know, in our informal settlement? So that's, I think, the question. Now, but let me take you deeper into what was really discussed behind the closed doors, you know. And one of the things that was it was the Peace and Security Council gave their report, and let me blunt let me be blunt. Let me really, really be blunt. It wasn't pretty. All right. It was not pretty when it comes to that report. It was not pretty at all. Conflict are still raging. Yeah. So terrorism and violent extremes are spreading worse, becoming more and more irregular. Coups are still happening. Not even long time ago, we have some coups in West Africa. So the dream of silencing the gun, remember that? That was supposed to be achieved in, what month is it? It was supposed to be achieved in 2023 or 2022, one of the year there. So silencing the gun that the AU has been, you know, talking about since 2013. We have been talking about that since 2013. So we are no close to silencing the gun. Actually, the gun has become more louder. You know, the gun has become more louder than we haven't even silenced it better. We could have said, okay, it was much louder. Now we did it, but now we actually is more louder than what it was before. So, so now we are nowhere close. We are nowhere close at all. All right. So now the leaders expressed a deep concern, as they usually do. They reaffirm their commitment to a zero tolerance for unconstitutional changes of government. That's one thing that they were really, really very strong about. The summit was very, very strong on the commitment to zero tolerance for unconstitutional changes of government, you know? So, and we have seen in recent, and that hasn't changed. We have seen in recent years the rise of coups, unstable political situation. And the AU has made it clear that they won't stand for any of it. They would not stand for any of it at all. So, but I think we have to be very critical. It's not just being critical here, actually. But how many times have we heard these same words? How many summits have produced the same communiques, these communiques where, while military takeover continues in West Africa, you know, while conflict grid on in Sudan, in Somalia, in Eastern Congo. So this, but years after years, they are communique after communique. Eh? So, yeah.
Good morning. Welcome to Antec. Welcome to Antec in the day.
Yes, that's Mike.
Yes.
Morning. How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself?
I'm all right, man.
Yeah.
Are you the laughing stock of the world?
These guys, they go to this summit every year, you know, and I don't know whether they even look at, okay, guys, we talked about the like silencing of the gun, you know, it ended. It was, the target was, I think, if I need to look it up. So the target was actually 2022 or 2023. I think that it was somewhere there.
I think it's 2023.
Yeah.
The silence
of the gun was 2023. That was the target. Now, we don't hear now to say, okay, guys, we have failed. We have failed in silencing the gun. And the reasons why we have failed is this and this and this. Okay, now let's look at a new way of looking at it. They're just coming up and say, doing the same thing. They are condemning about, you know, we're not tolerating.
Condemning every time. We are not going to tolerate and this. We are not.
But there's nothing changes. There's nothing changes. Yeah?
Nothing at all. And the funny thing is that sometimes I think it's a union. It's better even our program to go to the north to address the traditional leaders. And the DC, maybe in the zooming. To be better, the state house. Yeah, to be better. Flying out with working with kids and affairs. No.
Yeah.
There's nothing come out to the EU. You can see it.
Yeah.
This is what they say. Now we can see tangible results.
Exactly.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah, even those of us, the reporters, you get tired of reporting the same thing when you don't.
Yeah, over and over and now.
When you don't see any, when you don't see, and sometimes we sound like we are cynical, but you know, you kind of like I have said this last year, and the year before that, and the year before that. But what is happening? You know, you follow this, and you know exactly what is coming. You know.
That's the thing. I'm just wondering, was the president, I mean the military coup, yeah. Those one are like from Burkina Faso and Niger and what, Mali, if it depends there.
No, they are not there.
Yeah, they didn't, but because now they are having their own organization. Mm. I just forget the name. Where even they having yeah. power. Yeah. You see now. Yeah, it's organization having a military, but you, how long have they been there? Did they even having a military power? Did they even having a bank? Where do they even have come up with a bank? Yeah?
Yeah.
Those three countries, Niger, Mali, Burkina Faso, they come up with their own bank, where they are supporting, and now even they lose a lot of money when comparing to USA. Because I was thinking they are documentary. Those guys, they are already doing something else. If you are saying you are not going to tolerate any coup.
Sometimes you have someone who said, look, I can't let my people actually go through suffering while I'm waiting on AU that it doesn't do anything at all. Look at what happened in Eastern Congo. Look at what's in Somalia. Look at what we're just talking. We're not doing anything.
Everything. Yeah. Every day things are happening.
People are dying. They are dying of hunger. And we are not
going to relate. No. You are just talking.
So we're asking external donors and actors actually to help us with what is happening in Africa instead of, you know, get ourselves.
You know? Let us put ourselves together.
Mm.
Then we solve the problem. We wait for the either French say something or American.
Yeah. And we still talk about bad about the Americans.
No, for me, AU is one of the organization. I think they would need to be dismantled.
Yeah,
because it's not working at all. It's the same with SADC. SADC, I don't know the era of Nyoma, Mugabe, when they come up with a military power to support the DRC.
Yeah,
only that time maybe they were because of the interest of what mine.
It was just that they were more action oriented kind of leadership. Eh?
Yeah.
That they were not just talking, they were implementing.
Yeah.
You know?
Implementing it.
So
but they were just having a lot of people talking, but there's nothing happening with them.
Just talk.
Look, even now we are talking, I think even the chance is still coming back to 100 Zimbabwean. Because there's something like the US is saying, no, Zimbabwe, we will see you coming. But now, what is a strict message they are going to put it about the SADC community?
Yeah.
Nothing. Mm. They wait until things happen, then now they'll tell, no, this is not supposed to happen. But you are there as an organization.
Yeah.
The problem, I think, in Africa, that's why I think we never work together because everybody, we are excreted.
Yeah, no, we're fragmented, and
everybody is going to take us anyway.
So, of course, we can blame colonialism, we can blame neo-political or whatever. We can all do
that. But that's left us a long time.
We know that somehow it has contributed, but we still have enough to do much. You understand?
Too much.
Yeah.
We are still saying colonial, but my friend, if there was no colonial, we should not support to have what we have now today. Which we're still using it. Our parliament, our hoster, even the Lord Network.
Yeah.
It was because of colonial, only that we end up, but the terrorists, we've done better. But when it comes to property, that we are talking about even sanitation now. In a capital city, the way they were people even going to help themselves in the bushes.
Yeah.
Huh? And we are, after 36 years, we still have to struggle for clean water.
Yeah.
What does it tell you? That's the problem. I think we, or we have authority to name our mind, the people authority to colonize again, they are here. Nando no osimo shwete shiri penya ponelego kutoluka leto ke starapo ai wala ngoku ngomba kunya sho is what the neta saying.
So antulike shiripo shiripo sho antulipo si antushi investing before part to popi, let's diversify, let's add value addition. Now that's what we're talking and it could be late.
Look it could be late. Mm. I'm saying, I don't know really what happened when Botswana and Namibia, they come up with us to use what? ID card. Which is good. I don't know who really come up with that idea. But I'm sure I'm not from Namibia. It's a counterpart of Botswana, I think.
Yeah.
And because if it was, why Namibia cannot propose that level to go to Angola? From where they end up to Chicago? Why? And why we also Namibia cannot use our ID with Angolan?
Yeah.
If that mostly we are, a lot of people are living from the side of Namibia, then Angola. At least you can talk. Then you say, yes, this is what we're supposed to do. Lobby to refinery. You can say Namibia is supporting. But,
all right,
we later go to, yeah, serious about it. I think sometimes, let us not just talk.
Yeah.
Let us just start taking action as Africans.
Yeah.
And then we see that, yes, we are doing something. But really, if we are just talking for talking, the sake of talking and making a lot of speech, like they are good, no, we have to come to the ground. Where our president even say, no, guys, when I was talking in Africa, AU, this is what I mean. I'm coming to Havana now.
Hmm.
I want Havana to have a toilet, flushing toilet, and Goria Hub and Kanja Park. Then, yeah, we can talk.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you're just the sake of talking your sanitation, we wait until 19, what? Now they're talking about African development, what was in 1950 or something.
2063. So we're talking about 2063. We moved from 2030 now to 2063. Agenda 2063.
Yeah.
And we heard this thing sounding so nice, you know? And All right, man.
Sure.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let me go through this. The assembly also talked about needing a predictable and sustainable financing for AU-led peace operation. Now, they talked about that we need money. You know, it means they need money and they need it reliably. So, and here's the truth. African peacekeeping missions are often underfunded. They are often underfunded, under-resourced, and dependent on external donor who come. So external donors always come with their own agendas. So it's like trying to build a house when someone else controls your supply of bricks. You know? No, seriously. Yeah, they need money. I mean, we're talking, and even when sometimes we talked about, as I said, they needing predictable and sustainable financing for AU-led peace operations. And without money, what can they do? Absolutely nothing. And we are not now looking at, okay, how do we generate that money from ourselves, you know, to be able to do what the plan that we're setting up. All right. So the other thing now, let's talk global politics. Because African doesn't exist in a vacuum. We're not existing in a vacuum. The summit also discussed African position at the G20. Catching up, South Africa hosted the G20 last year, and the AU now has a permanent membership in this club. This club of world's major economies. So we have now a permanent seat there. So let's see what How are we going to use it? So it's one thing to demand, we need a permanent seat, we need a permanent seat. Another, how are you going to use it? So now the leader stressed the need for coordinated African position. Look, as we were talking about now, that we are so much fragmented. So he's talking about a coordinated African position, on especially when on these things. Okay, they said we need to have this coordinated position when it comes to debt restructuring, when it comes to climate actions, when it comes to food security, so when it comes to digital transformations. So they said let's have one voice. Okay, and here's the context you need. This is the context you need. African countries are really drowning in debt. We are drowning in debt. Namibia included. We are drowning in debt. So we are borrowing to build infrastructure, to provide services, and the interest rate, the interest payment are eating up our budget alive. So the interest payment is really, really eating up our budget alive. So, I mean, the other day, we were even talking about this just not long time ago. So now when the AU talks about debt restructuring, when they talk about debt restructuring, so they are fighting for, what is it? They are fighting for a breathing room where, just give us a breathing room, where we can at least, you know, have a breath for a moment. So they are fighting for fair terms. We need some fair terms for recognition that the global financial system, it was actually built by the North, for the North. And we're being judged by, we actually being now put on the same global financial system that was actually built for the North, not for the South. So, yeah, that's what they're fighting for. That's what they say, look, hey, let's reform that. Let's change that. So, and on the UN security reform, the assembly also reiterated Africa's demand for equitable representation. So right now, Africa has no permanent seat on the Security Council. None. Nada. Nante nada. Yeah, there's nothing. So we're talking about, and imagine now, we're talking about a continent of 1.4 billion people with no permanent voice. With no permanent voice at the table where decisions about war, about peace, about international intervention are made. Yeah? So I think our leaders now, yeah, drakwe ngakuka, yeah, drakwe ngaku, drakwe ngakuman, you know? So no permanent voice at the table where this major decision are made, war decision are made, peace decision are made. Yeah? So imagine being locked out of the room where decisions about your future are being made. And that's Africa. That's African reality. That's our reality at the UN. Eh? I don't even understand why we're part of it. So that's our reality at the UN. Yeah. So, and then the African Continental Free Trade Area got mentioned as well. So leader commented progress and called for accelerated implementation. Because, to be real, the intra-Africa trade is still embarrassingly low. Very, very, very low. Now, think about this. You know, it is easy. It is easy for Namibia to trade with Europe than with Nigeria. Yeah? So we have better road, you know, we have better roads connecting us to ports, for example, Wavish Bay, to exporting raw material, then actually a road connecting us to our neighbors, for where now we can be able to trade finished good. So we have nice port, we have, and last time we were talking about that the Chinese helping us to upgrade our port. Why they are helping us? Because it's making it better. Eh? It make it a better road to connect, you know, our because of for our exporting. Eh? For exporting raw materials. They don't want issues and so many things that you know, so many hurdles for that. So, but our road to our neighbors, where now we can be trading finished good, is not non-existent. It's non-existent. So the summit also highlighted highlighted agriculture, food security, and climate resilient. And remember, Namibia is on the front lines of the climate change. We are on the front line of the climate change. So our farmers are watching, you know, rainfall patterns shift. Eh? It has shifted. Drought intensify. You know, if it's not drought, it's flood. Crop yields decline. So the production of crops actually have declined. So when the AU talks about transforming Africa food system, they're really talking about survival of millions of smallholder farmers, including ours. Eh? Including ours. So, and also the question of justice. The assembly considered a study on whether colonialization should be described as a crime against humanity, and whether certain acts during slavery and colonialization were genocide. So they talked about historical justice, reparations, and preserving African dignity. So, yeah, and this matter to us. That really matter for Namibia. It matter for us because we lived through German colonialization. And Herero and Nama genocide is our history. So that really matter for us. And I think when the EU now discuss reparatory justice, when they were discussing now reparatory justice, they are actually validating our pain. They are validating our pain. They are validating our loss, our demand for acknowledgement and a compensation. They are validating that. And it's good that we're discussing it being now discussed on a larger scale. But again, the question remains, will this discussion lead to concrete actions? Eh? Will they remain, or they will just remain as symbolic gestures? So, yeah, those are the issues. So the assembly also reaffirmed solidarity with Palestine. Connecting African liberation struggles. We're connecting actually our liberation struggle with ongoing struggle for self-determination elsewhere. It's kind of like the EU saying, hey, we remember what occupation feels like, what dispossession feels like, and we stand with those still fighting for freedom. Yeah, so, yeah, that's basically some of the issues that has been, you know, so what you can take away from this is that, number one, the AU summit addresses real issues, okay? So they really address real issues, issues like water, peace, development, global representation. These are real issues that Africa needs really to deal with. And these, they are not abstract. They are not some kind of abstract problems. They are our daily challenges. And I think focusing on those, it's really, really, really very important. The question is, you know, it's implementing those, putting that in practice. Number two, there is a troubling gap between now, and that's what I'm talking. This is a troubling gap between rhetoric and reality. The same commitment gets repeated year after year. So it gets repeated year after year, but the conflicts are still going on. Eh? Conflict persists. Coup happened. There's still coup that is happening. And developmental, while development actually have come to a standstill in many countries. Eh? And number three, the Africa is, we are demanding a fair seat, a fair seat at the global state or a global table, whether it's the UN Security Council or debt negotiation. So we actually asking for a better, you know, a seat there. So that fight matters for our economic future. So, and then number four, the focus on water and sanitation for 2026 could actually make a difference. It could make a difference in Namibia specifically, as we are now going to be hosting, you know, we will be hosting that that office now. So this secretariat. So we could be benefiting from it. And if followed through with the resource, and if we really follow through with resources and actions, so we could be benefiting from that. And number five, historical justice and reparations are finally being discussed at the highest level, which is actually a good thing. And that's validating our struggle, struggles like our acknowledgement, ours for acknowledgement of colonial crimes that has been committed to for us. So the real test is now that whether President Ndayishimiye, you know, President Ndayishimiye chairmanship delivers action. That's now the test. Not just declaration, as we see here, whether this summit becomes a turning point or it's all just another annual gathering. So, and we will be watching as we used to, as we always do. So we will be, and we should be holding our leaders accountable. So what were you saying? All right? That's what you were saying out there. Now we're going to hold you accountable to what you were saying. So, my dear people, my dear friends, my dear listeners, our time is about 3 minutes past the hour of 10, and that means the unpacking the day has come to an end, unfortunately. But don't worry, we still have tomorrow. We still have tomorrow. So let's do this again tomorrow at the same time here on your favorite station, Eagle FM. So have a great one. Have a great day. And signing off, Michael Chiavelli. I'm leaving you in the hands of a capable man, Tate France, coming with Kuthamosha. And all the best listening throughout the day for the programs that are coming your way throughout the day. So it's a goodbye from me. Until tomorrow.